And is there, if there's anyone who is sick, Lord, we declare your healing power upon them. We declare your healing power upon them. Their wounds are healed in the name of Jesus. And they are restored by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every sickness is banished in the name of Jesus. And the good hand of the Lord comes upon them, oh God. The refreshing waters are poured upon them in the name of Jesus. And so we say, thank you, Father. Let us begin to pray for ourselves now. That as the word of God comes, that truly you will hear. Pray for yourself. That God will send you his word. He said, I sent my word. God is always sending his word. You have to ask God specifically to intervene in your life and to help you. Say, Lord, bless your word in my spirit. And as Pastor Banky begins to minister, Lord, give him words, Lord. Give him words. Bless him, Lord. Strengthen your word in his spirit. Let your Holy Spirit overshadow him, O God. And cause his mouth to open, O God, in accordance with your will, powerfully, that our lives will be blessed. Thank you, Father, because this you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
All right, let's just quickly take a declaration.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's get into the teaching again for today. I'm really excited teaching the thing we've been on for a while. It started with the issue of why people disobey the call of God for their lives. And we said it's a matter of fear. And a fear, we said, should not stop us. Listen, the fearful, all right? God classes them with the adulterers. Is that what I said? The fearful. God classes them with sinners. The fearful. And one reason why God, all right, does that is that when he has provided resources, you are held accountable for neglecting the resources. Do you follow? That is, if you are supposed to enter into the promised land, think about it. You're only, that doesn't mean at all, Israelite, you are 6 foot, all right, 6 feet in height. That's But the guys that are going to fight, they are 9. Okay? And with your 6 feet, you are well toned up, like Americans, you are jacked up, you know, muscles everywhere. All right, maybe you weigh 110 kg, or maybe 95 to of muscle. You're powerful, maybe strong. But when the giant puts the foot down, boom, the earth shakes. That guy comes in weighing 200 kg of rippling muscles. The size of his armor, you can't even carry. You can hardly carry it. This guy's not lined up in battle formation against you. It makes sense to say you are not able. Do you follow what I'm saying? You go and see their cities. You know, God destroyed those places heavily. It's only from biblical accounts we know what they were like. Said the cities was as if they were walled to heaven. Now, what that means is that those guys couldn't climb those walls. Most fences we have around, we can climb them. That's why we have to put barbed wire on top and put electrified wires everywhere to prevent people from climbing, because we're enough for those wires. The average person who climbs, can climb it. But those guys stood beside those fences, they looked up, and they kept looking up. And they could... It was as if the thing didn't have an end. That's what they meant. It was not literally into the heavens, but it was so high compared to their ability. They saw all those things and concluded, which is very reasonable. I don't know what God's problem is, or Joshua, or Moses. Yeah, it was Moses at the time of Moses. Those guys were reasonable. They're not able. So they told them, let's go back. And God got angry. That's where I'm going. Why should you be angry that people did what was reasonable? It's simple. See, in this your life, you have been saying, be careful, don't disagree with God. If God says you can do something, just say amen. Go and try and die. I mean, try and then die in the process. Do you follow my point? Then when you get to heaven, say, Lord, it was nice. See, I'm telling you the attitude to have. That's the attitude of success. That's the attitude to have. If the Lord says you can do it. Suffer doing it. And go back home and like, man, I suffered for God. It's a better attitude. Do you know if you have that kind of attitude, you will see the help of God in many, many mighty ways. Israel, if you see, when Joshua was speaking, Joshua did not say anything about their own ability. Did you notice what Joshua said? What did he say? He said, if God is with us, their defenses, all these things they are saying, they mean nothing. This world can't stop God. His own was like, look, guys, God is on our side. You know what they told him? Get real. This is Nigeria. You have to face the facts. You know, the problem I have with some of you people is that it's as if you are the only ones that have this faith. We all go to the same church. There's no book that Hagin wrote, me that I did not write, read. It's not only you that have been praying. We all pray. Amen? Amen. We all pray. But one thing that I like about, I'm pragmatic. I'm realistic. I don't understand. I don't understand for Joshua. Don't mind him. It's because he's always hanging around Moses. He now thinks that he's more spiritual than the rest of us. Guys, let's go back. They got back there. Now, go and check. You know, I said something the other day. God can get angry. And you can make him sad. And you can make him happy. He gets excited when he sees somebody build his life, build her life on what he said. He gets excited. Please, let's go over it again. What does it mean to be righteous? Righteous does not mean I do everything correctly. If you check my skill, it's always accurate. If I'm measuring something for somebody, I don't cheat. Now, those things are right. Those things are good. Those things are part of true Christianity. We said it the other time. When David said, I've been young, now I am old. I have not seen the righteous forsaken. We said what he meant. Please, let's get it. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It said not for him alone was it accounted for righteousness, but anybody who he believed the same way he believed. Do you follow on someone say? So, Abraham, why did he get righteousness? God says something and he said, done. Leave your father's house. He left. Go and sacrifice your son. And the reason that God who had promised that in Isaac will your seed be, if he said I should sacrifice him, he must have a plan for raising his ashes up from the dead. Let's watch what God wants to do. And Abraham went and did exactly what God said. And God said, so you are going to stay. Now let's see, maybe you don't understand. It's for them at that time, it was their posterity that mattered the most. Each generation has what is important to him, to them. You understand? Most of this generation, all they want is fine motor, fine money, then one or two houses. And if they have that and they are 65, they feel like they've accomplished. Yeah, especially when the children have graduated from school. All they are now doing is going from one wedding, you know, handing out their girls and taking brides for their sons. I mean, you know, like, come on, life was not bad. Those days, it was not like that. What God used to promise people, what I will make you a nation. An average person now is not impressed with that promise. He doesn't want to be a nation. Nigeria is a nation. Ghana is a nation. I mean, Cote d'Ivoire is a nation. Do you follow my point? America is a nation. Why do I want to be the father of America? For what? Now, we can't relate with it. It's very difficult for us to relate with it. So say that I'll make a father of many nations. No, it doesn't. But those men, it mattered. God used to impress them with, so will your descendants be. Right now, an average person doesn't care about descendants. He can be sweeping gutter in Ireland. It's okay. As long as Boko Haram can't shoot him. You don't know that? The average person these days doesn't really care. In fact, if he wants to care about his descendants, it's those ones, the immediate ones. Yeah. But to the 10th generation, what concerns him? But those men, those days, it mattered. So, God could tell somebody, look at the land I will give your descendants. What we need is two plots. Once you have two plots, you're fine. Yeah. The mindset at that time, and it's a spirit in the air, was God that threw that spirit out there. The important people, if people wanted to ask God for blessings, God had to show them 10 generations down the line. Do you follow? Yeah, it's 10 generations down the line. 20 generations down the line. You tell them, look, when they tell that kings will come out of your loins, you know what they meant? They didn't mean that there will be one king, then you give it to another king. And no, what they meant is that there will be 15 countries around. Each one of their leaders will be your offspring. So now, for such a person, all right, that Abraham was, you now come to him and say you should kill Isaac. That's where I'm going. That's when you will understand the significance of what he did. It was as if he had invested money. Let's use our own current day, you know, passion. He had invested money, bought stocks, bought land, done everything. God now says he liquidate everything and give it out. Yeah, it's something like that. For them, look, that seed was the issue. That is, if we now kill this Abraham, now listen to me, this was, how many years? We've calculated it before. 75 to 25 to, well, 30, you know, just for purpose of discussion. It's actually supposed to be older than 35, but let's just take 35. That comes to how many years? 60 years. This 60 years of working with God, you now put it at risk at that moment. It wasn't funny. Yet, Abraham did it. That is what is called righteousness. You get my point? Now, you ask him, why did he do it? Now, please, let me go over this again. Your life has to be, why are you doing this? You know, God said. Do you follow my point? Why are you doing this? You know, the Lord said. But what you are doing is not reasonable. You know that God said. You know, the scriptures said. You know, get my point? Or the scriptures say. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that is what the Bible means by it is accounted to him for what? Righteousness. That's what the Bible means, that it is accounted for righteousness. So when you do something, maybe let's get practical. Where do you store your money? I don't have anywhere. All the money you have in the last 2 years. I know you made plenty of money in the last 2 years. They were selling houses in that estate. Why didn't you buy? Where I live now is comfortable. But you never can tell. You know, in the next 2 years, say, but God said, don't worry about tomorrow. See that kind of statement. Just, it's like, but God said, don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, but at least you keep the money somewhere, you know, just in case. But the Lord said, don't lay up treasure on the earth. Do you see what I'm saying? So all the money that you made the last week, I know. You know, you used to give me gist. I know how much it came to. But the Bible says that we should be generous and ready to share. And you keep uttering such statements. And it's your defense for everything you are doing. Now, not as if you are hiding behind scripture to justify your lack of ability to do something. But really, that was the reason. That was the reason. So when someone said, but you didn't do that, he said, no, now, but why didn't you do it? You know, I was thinking, the Bible now says, and I found that the Bible said, now let me repeat it again. What we said, I think it was last week or the week before. David said, I have never seen such a person forsaken or his children beg for bread. He wasn't talking about somebody who dresses appropriately all the time because he has a conservative spirit. That's not what he means. He said, this man, this was what he was doing before, and I knew how much money he was making, but he stopped. Why did he stop? Because, you know, see, there's something I gave an illustration here some time ago. When I was young, all right, the main thrust of when people are serious Christians, they were SU. Look, in this part of the world, all right, you were not a serious Christian woman if you wore trousers. Now, you were not. It's all of you I'm looking at going to hellfire. Do you get my point? That's the way it was that time. No, it's not like that till now. No, you can see a person all made up with, you know, nails looking like that of Nefertiti and then, you know, eyelashes like wings of birds. They actually have seen eyelashes with wings of birds. They'll put, and in church, and she's ministering, and Holy Spirit is moving. No, am I lying?
You will come there now. They say, oh, to meet that is Reverend Mrs. What's your surname again? Eh? Anajemba. Your surname is Egemba. Okay. So Reverend Mrs. Eunice Egemba will be ministering to us. That's your wife I'm talking about now. And when she comes out, you know, you still win. Praise God. Look. One day I was in Lagos, there one woman came to minister. They used to call the woman the preaching machine. She came from America. If it's now, tell madam, don't do that again. You know why? She wore this, I think was real diamond studded earrings. Yeah. I don't need the kind of precious stones she would have been. When she came up, I still remember, when she would turn, in your mind, you hear the earrings. You know, as if they are clinging. They sparkled everywhere. What she said to today, I can't remember. But these earrings. But the earrings, I haven't forgotten. If you want to know the year I'm talking about, it was 1993 or 94. I've not forgotten those earrings till today. Well, I'm going to. So these days, I mean, we know people on both sides. Some people are chosen and they wear their, you know what I mean? Their hair. So the way they tie to band till now, we know. But those days, okay, the average person that gave his life to Christ, gave her, let me use her because they were the most afflicted, you know? They were the ones that were afflicted. The men, what happened? You were wearing trousers before, you gave your life to Christ, you kept nobody wearing your trousers. I know one church. They used to measure the skirt for the girls. If his skirt touch your body small, bam, it's not allowed. It must be fluid. Now, where I'm going at? There was one man, I heard the testimony once. He was a hairdresser. That's why I'm telling the whole story. At that time, if you did anything to your hair, more than weave it with rope or with ordinary hair, and then tied it under something, there was no heaven for you. So how will you, that's preaching heaven, will not be the one sending people to hellfire? There was no born-again Christian in my area that ran a hairdressing salon. It was not possible. You could be a barber, but you don't. In fact, we had a scripture, we used to twist it. Now, a lot of people there, I grew up in Ondo State, read their Bible in Yoruba, right? So sometimes you go to church and they're preaching. I remember one man preaching. He quoted one particular scripture that says that, it was a proverb, one of the proverbs was saying, that when your head gets burnt, like if you, like Michael Jackson, you get caught in fire on your scalp, the result will be what? Baldness. That a bald head follows a burnt head, or a burnt hair. That's the literal thing. I can't remember which portion of the Bible. Except that when you read it in Yoruba language, it said the same thing, but the word for perm your hair is burn your hair. Do you get it? So the man quoted, it's in the Bible. A bald head follows perm your hair. That was not what the Bible says. Do you get what I'm saying? He just transposed the words. Because the same way, when women, those, you remember when they used to do hair, they started with stretching combs. So the women literally used to say, they want to go and, in the language, is let me go and burn my hair. So they use stretching combs to hit the hair and stretch it. But the man now went to the Bible. When the Bible was talking about literal fire burning people who are under affliction. Do you get my point? No, it was the thing. No, but get where I'm going. Get where I'm going, please. There's a story I'm trying to tell. Now, later on, when we go to university, we heard a bit of the modernized gospel. And I remember then when I would come home, and my mother who would see the pictures of some of the sisters in our fellowship, she said they were not born again. I told her, they are. Oh, God, we used to have argument, me and my mother. He said, how can this one say they are Christian? I said, mommy, they are very Christian. They are more Christian than the people you know around. We would argue, and if I remember them, my other brother, he sat down there. My mother was on this side. I was on this side. And we're talking and talking. She would say something. Unconscious. I didn't do it deliberately. I will quote a scripture to explain something. My mother would say another thing. I will quote the scripture. After my brother now said something. He talked to my mother. He said, mommy, I think I want to start siding banking. My mother said, why? He said, because everything you've been telling me, can't I see, can't I see? I can't see anything. He said, but he, everything he's saying, he's giving me a Bible verse to support his opinion. You're just telling me, can't I see, can't I see? I said, I can't see anything. Now, in the middle of love, that's where I'm going. People give their lives to Christ, all right? And they close their businesses. They did. When we began to learn some of this, we said, that was extreme. And you know what? It was extreme. But now I'm older, and I look back. If you know the kind of God we serve, if they did it with sincerity, only because they wanted to please the Lord. Now, see, there's a narrow line. There's one in which you want to please the church elders. You are doing it for acceptance. God doesn't owe you. It's not done by faith. Paul made it clear. Some people did not eat meat because they were convinced it was for the Lord. And Paul made it clear that he understands that their faith is weak. But he said the faith has to be protected. So I look back. I said some of those guys who did some of those things, yes, they were extreme. But if they did it purely for the Lord, not to gain human acceptance, not for promotion in church, because some people, look, I've seen, I went to church at the time. I left the church, so I went to visit. And my pastor said, I saw one lady who I knew was with him. They were talking, so I kind of waited for them to finish their discussion. You know, a couple actually, but the woman was the person she was talking to more. The husband just sat, was like, anyway, he wasn't saying much. I was observing from a distance. Then when they finished, they left. What was the cause of the confusion? The issue. The pastor came, wrote a new decree that if you were a leader in the church, you couldn't wear earrings, you couldn't use makeup. Yeah. And this woman, she's from Nigeria, her culture, you know, I mean, to her, it wasn't anything. It was just the way she grew up, the way she did. Very, very serious Christian woman. So one day they got to church, and pastor read a new decree that henceforth, if you are a church worker, leader, and all of that, you couldn't wear earrings, you couldn't use makeup, you couldn't wear trousers if you're a woman, and all of that. I told somebody that time, when we were discussing it, I said, well, it's not a big deal for me. I said, but if I was in that church, I would leave. I wasn't married, so it wasn't as if, what was my reason? I saw it as like, Oga, this is not advancement. I saw it as a direction that the church is going that I do not believe in. I'm not saying those things are, you must use makeup, but I just said like, this is not, do you follow my point? We should be making progress in evangelism, in teaching the word, in outreach, in, you know, manifesting the power of God. Bring it, not like, okay, you can't wear, you know, you that is, it makes the law. I said to my different, they want that guy's position. So they were having this serious conflict. Well, finally, I think the woman accepted. I was just visiting. I had left that time. Okay, I just came visiting. But I told somebody we were discussing. I said, look, if I'm the one, if I was that guy, I'll tell the wife, no problem. See, this makeup, we're not taking it to heaven. This jewelry, we won't wear it to download the Holy Spirit. Abi? I said, to make him happy, to bring peace, drop it. But then, I'll start telling myself, I'll start praying. Then I was asking God, how long more do I have here? Because I can't be following you if I don't feel you are going somewhere. For me, that was not progress. That wasn't progress. So I just throw that story to show that there may be other ways, reasons people do things. That kind of one, God will bless the person a bit because you want to maintain the bond of the unity of the church and the bond of peace. So you want to maintain, God will bless you. But really, you did not do that for the Lord. You did that for the brethren. He doesn't owe you. Do you get where I'm going? The two of them look similar. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. See, if it's as much as I don't use white face towels anymore, I use only yellow. And it's because I found it in scripture. And I'm convinced it pleases the Lord. God honors it. How do I know? Paul says some don't eat meat. And that same Paul told us, there is nothing to this meat. But unto their Lord, they do not eat. Basically, leave them. So anything you do for God, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm back to my story. Those things many people did, they were excesses. But I'm saying it with boldness. If they did it for the Lord, Even though in the light of further revelation, it wasn't necessary. But to them, they thought it was. And they did it only for the Lord. He said, they will never be forsaken. And their children will never beg for bread. That was what he meant by righteous. We're talking about it again. All right? So what are we supposed to be doing, believers? Let's be building our lives on what? On the word of God. Remember we said last time, how did God build this earth? The word. How did he create the heavens? Spoke the word. How did he form you and I? The word. We read from Hebrews chapter 1. How does he sustain everything? By the word. So what should we build our own lives with? Is that same word. It is that same word. I said it last time that, listen, the word is, it comes to us as promises, precepts, commandments, ordinances, but that really is not the word itself. The word itself is a living thing, is alive. The word itself builds, it invents, it delivers from death, it treats diseases. There's a way the word will appear. God will open your eyes, you will see the word. You know what you will see? You see a man or a woman wearing a white coat, wearing a stethoscope, you know, looking like he has gadgets that you can't recognize. And you see him approach somebody about to extract a tumor that no doctor can touch. And you say to the Lord, who is that? You say, it's the word. Say, Lord, what is going on? Say, I've sent him. He will heal him. He will deliver him from all his troubles. I hope I get my point. And that time, you're watching and you see somebody maybe sitting down, he and his family in a lonely area in the wilderness, and you see attackers coming from four different angles. A family of one man, maybe his wife, five children, and a few other friends and servants. Yet these men who are coming, they are armed with guns. And there are at least 100 of them riding motorcycles. They are coming from four different directions. And the Lord sends the word. He sends the word. And the word will just go there, build a fence. That is, it will become a fence. You just see a fence appear from nowhere, surround them. And you just know that this fence is impenetrable. That if you shoot an atomic, a tactical, what they call nuclear weapon at this fence, it will not go down. You just know, you know, instinctively, just know. I ask the Lord, what is that? He said, that fence, oh, it's the word. I send the word to protect them. Do you follow my point? So the word will rain sometimes from heaven. You see it physically. It looks like manna. It looks like food. It's the word that came down. I'm sure what I'm saying. The Bible calls it food of angels. What do you think angels eat? So when the word of God rained, God said, give it form, don't let them get confused. So give it form. They couldn't recognize. They said, what is this? I'm giving the answer, it's the word. Do you get? See, when you have your tab, your phone, your paper, Bible, whatever it is, those letters you see on it, Jesus said, that's not the word though. That is what conveys the word. He said, the words that you hear, they said, what are they? He said, the flesh profits nothing. But the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is, when I utter, you see, it has to come in a form for you to, you know, relate with it. And when it comes as commandments, I explained before, when it comes as commandments, the commandments are for aligning. Do you get my point? See, there's a way God does. He may say, okay, like, let me give an example. Jericho. For Jericho to, the wall to go down, there had to be an alignment. I don't know what the alignment was, which ended in a shout. So a commandment comes that says, go around the city once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around it seven times. At the end of that, shout. What does that do? That obedience allows the power to manifest. So when the word comes to you as a commandment, obey it. Are you getting my point? But just know that the obedience is alignment. Like I said the other time, you are arranging your pipes. You are connecting your wires. The power is high up there in an overhead tank. You are down there in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your dining, The water has to flow there. So when he's giving commandment, it's align your pipes, align your pipes. Are you following my point? So when we say build your life on the word of God, you will go and listen to the promises, read the promises, declare the promises, obey the instructions, obey the commandments, but know again, we are saying, that is not life itself. I don't know how to explain. I don't know what the word is. I don't know how to describe it, but that it's a living thing. It rides upon your obedience. It rides upon, you know, the adherence to that commandment. It rides upon those promises that he uttered to you. You know what? The word takes all kinds of forms. There was a time the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So he will sit down. Look, you know, Pastor Craig and I were talking, was it this morning? Is it this morning or yesterday? Huh? You were not there. Oh, God. No, it's yesterday. It's yesterday. It's not today. Yesterday. Yesterday. He and I were talking. And something led to something, you know, that kind of thing. And I said to him, listen, we have to attack the Martha ministry again. The Martha ministry. I said, we have to attack it. He was explaining that a lot of preachers can't sit down to hear. Yeah. A lot of preachers can't sit down to hear. Hey, no, they can't. There are preachers that if you go and ask them, when last did you sit down somebody's ministry? They can't remember. They are always ministry. It gets to a point where they develop akathisia when they are not the one preaching. Sorry, that's big English. But it's restless. They become restless when they are not the ones preaching. And let me say something to you. Everything in life has a risk. Yeah, that's the risk of being a preacher. You are so used to every time you go somewhere, the mic will hit your hand eventually. So that if they carry you to a church to sit down, the idea of sitting down throughout is like, sorry, it's like beneath you. You don't think much about it, but unconsciously, it's beneath you. I mean, it's like maybe a big celebrity musician, you know, artist goes to a show. And he just dances in the crowd. You know, he's like, come on. It's not supposed to be like that. I'm supposed to be performing. So a lot of preachers, this is what they do. There's a conference now, all right? Like, okay, I went for Lokapna as an example. That kind of conference. When are you speaking? Maybe they say you're speaking day one. You think you can miss the other 3 days. So somebody will say, please, can you come and preach for us? You say, all right, I'm ministering on Friday, but I'm free on Saturday. You're not free. You have become a martyr. That's how there you are not ministering. You are supposed to sit down there while somebody else ministers. I can testify to the glory of God, all right? My convention I just mentioned to you about now, all right? I've had invitations many times, clashing with it. I'm with begging, Pastor, please now. We hear you are going to be in Benin. I said, but I'll be in my convention. And I'm saying this, I'm not preaching. I'm not preaching. We're having several sessions today, and I'm not talking. Occasionally, I might come, you know, say something. I said, it's my convention. Sorry, I can't leave there to go and preach to you. I can't. I'm just going to. And some correct. I was present at the time. Pastor Craig was present for so many years now. I always sit in front. The first year when he took out as president, I wanted to relax a bit. I started taking second or third row. You see him turning like this. Wait. Half an hour. So after that first year, I behaved myself. So I always sit in front. Always. Always in front, and I'm not talking. Sometimes I talk. I'm not saying I don't ever preach there. But you cannot, God help me with that. You can't invite me during that program. No. No. My parents-in-law lived in the city. My father-in-law is still there. I've never been able to go and visit them during that period. No. Once I enter that hotel, I'm stuck in there till we go. This last one, we arrived on Wednesday, left on Sunday morning. Did not see the gate from that Wednesday till Sunday morning. We start 7 in the morning, prayer, Bible study, and then we go into different, maybe sometimes they are preaching, they have discussions at all of that, and then we eat. Then we get a 3 to 4 hour break. Yes, we can to interact with people, to sleep, and then come back again in the evening. So here and I were talking about many things. what's happening? I said, no. A lot of people, preachers, don't know how to sit down. Some, when they are sitting down, you know what they are doing? They are assessing how well that man is preaching. That scripture he quoted, did he quote it correctly? One day I went to preach somewhere. Let me not even start that one. It was a funny church. I'm sorry. Another person one of my people went there to preach. One of our brothers was there, so one of our people were invited. The preacher will finish preaching, and someone said, "You did well." I said, "Are you okay? Are you my pastor?" I cannot even tell people who call me their pastor they did well. No. It's either I was blessed, or I leave you alone for talking nonsense. Do you follow my point? Thank God the people I relate with, they don't talk nonsense. And you know what? I have that testimony. When people are preaching, I get blessed. I told you a few Fridays ago, we don't have Bible study here. Because you know Bible study, I'm not the one that leads, but I teach, and I sit and then contribute. So that you were the one teaching. At the end of the day, I remember that particular day. Don't ask me what you said. Don't ask me what we discussed. All of us, we interact. All of us, we are sharing. You know, that John is sitting down there. We share. Anybody around, we contribute. But that day, when I finished, I told my wife after. I said, my faith was so lifted. I don't know where it came from. It was so lifted. On Sunday, I told my wife, dress up. We're going to Pastor Community's church. She said, what's happening? I said, I need extra faith. I said, dress up. I mean, I'm going, I work, but Pastor saw me. Pastor. I said, relax. Why did you know? I just came to sit. Why? Because I said, there is a dose of faith I got on Friday. I wasn't the one teaching. It's as if the Holy Spirit said, he never finished. So I went to sit down. I enjoyed the praise, the worship, the intercession, the hymns, everything. And I sat down and Pastor came to preach for like an hour, a little more over that. And then, what did I come to do? You see, what is his name? He's our guy. That old man of those days, white man, South Africa, John G. Lake. John G. Lake said that there are times, white man, you mean South Africa, he just feels like he needs to soak in the spirit. He starts looking for a church. He will enter, sit down, and not hear a word of what they are saying. Because they are speaking a language, a native tongue that he doesn't understand. He will get them and sit. They are clapping, he will join to clap. They are singing, he'll be looking at them. Then, one half-educated man will come up, dress funny, speak a language he doesn't understand, and he will sit through it. Okay, what are you doing? Say, he came to drink of the Spirit. He came to drink of the Spirit. He doesn't know what they're saying. Say, but if he will tell you, I felt the Spirit of God there. You know, I always drop words for pastors. If you're a pastor, please sit down. Let somebody else preach. A person may be young. You know, recently I started thinking about it. I thought about the number of preachers. Okay, now, I'm almost 20 years, yes, I should be almost 20 years older than Oswald Chambers was when he died. And I quote him all the day, every time. Yes. I told Oswald, when did he die? Was it 30-something? Okay, no, he was 40-something, yes, so. Okay, about 10 years older than he was when he died. And I quote him all the time. Which means if he's alive today, and he's much younger than me, why shouldn't I go and listen? Do you get where I'm going? If he's alive today, and he's preaching, and he's younger than me, why should I not go and listen? You know, the first time I heard Bishop Oyedepo, and he almost knocked me senseless with the word of God. He was 40-something. I'm older than that now. Are you following what I'm saying? Last night, I took my pastor's message. I just one of old message. I just said, I was during the night, I just left it to play. And I thought to myself, I said, when this man preached this message, he was maybe like 32. He wasn't up to 32. Come on. Where you humble run from? It must have been like that. I'm still listening to the message today. Ha! I said, so if a 30-year-old man has sense in his head and anointing in his spirit, the problem we have, they love you. They're high on Guru Mary. So that's the problem I have. Otherwise, if you are speaking the sound word, I'll go there and listen. He said, Pastor, you came. It's not you I came from. It's the Holy Spirit. It's something you carry. Yeah. I hope you get my point. So we're talking about, I said, listen, this Martha's spirit, pastors, you have to get rid of it. Go to church and sit down. You'll be drying up, you wouldn't know. Everybody say, oh, Pastor, you've been a blessing. Who's blessing you too? Do you get my point? What am I saying all of these things? Listen, as believers, let me quickly say this. The word creates. And God is waiting. How did the prophet say it? How did he say it? That the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. What is he looking for? He's looking for the person whose heart is completely yielded to him, focused on him. Why? I like King James there. He says, so he can show himself strong. I don't know whether you're getting that. That he's looking for who to display power in his life. And you know, God was, he felt bad. He said, Asa. I want, I woke up this morning, I felt like flexing. I said, let me carry weight. So how do we carry weight? Throw trouble towards Asa. Then he will call on us. Then we'll go down as the man of war. And Asa didn't call to God. He didn't call. When Hezekiah did, God said, ha! Hezekiah, oh boy, give me five there. High five. High five, my friend. Hi. Say, Hezekiah, don't tell when I fight. I was looking for a fight. Now you have called me into the fight. I will bless you. Yeah, you know, that's what he said. He said, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib. There's a way God said it. It's like, you know, it's as if God is waiting, like, this is where he's running up and down. How many people has he called now? He called his uncle in Abuja. Okay, please, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Let his uncle frustrate him. He has entered Moto. Where is he going? He's going to Bakiliki. He knows somebody there. God says, do me a favor. Let them disappoint him. Let him sleep on the road. Let the vehicle spoil. Then when he finally gets to Bakiliki, they said the man traveled yesterday. He went to Norway, of all places. And God says, do me. So finally, he sits down. Ah, Lord, I'm frustrated because I was waiting. Please now help me. Hey, that sounds like music in my ears. Lord, help me. If you don't help me, nobody can help me. I knew that before you didn't know it. See, the bundle of help I carried to come and give only you. I've been standing at your door since knocking. You went to a back league. I stood at your door knocking. You went to Abuja to see somebody. I see that you're done knocking, you're making phone calls. The number you have called is not available at this moment. Please try again later. You tried again later. Meanwhile, I was there knocking. You didn't hear the knock. I think that sometimes God just said, you don't even will show power. He said, which of our children needs power? He said, they're plenty, but they are not asking. I have a feeling if you see somebody who sincerely asks, he will rush to the place. Say, let's give them a testimony. Let them have a story to tell. They keep telling stories of 50 years ago. Biblical stories are good, but they are 2,000 years old. Did that stop working miracles 2,000 years ago? Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. Who does he call righteous? Is a person who built her life on what he said. Practical example again. Spending his money. Why are you using this phone for this? You know God said. Why are you doing it like this? You know God said. You don't have anyone remaining? You know God said we shouldn't worry. But you know, United Nations? UNICEF, or what's the name of those who make economic? IMF and World Bank. They said that 25% are going to become poorer last year. Maybe you'll be one of them. God said, even if the young lions hunger, those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. He said, but the Lord said, he's our shepherd. Therefore, we shall not lack. He said, so let's go and sleep. You're talking to your wife. Let's go and sleep. Nothing bad will happen. What will happen? After all, God said, you know, you keep on dropping. God said, that is the person he calls righteous. Some people, they have righteousness. We call it positional righteousness. But in reality, they ain't righteous, nothing. They went to church. Do you want to give your life to Christ? Yes. After that, every talk is like unbeliever. Say, let's be real. Let's be practical. You know, this country that we are in, we have to be real. What God said doesn't matter. That's what I'm just reminding us that we have been discussing about. I'm just reminding us of that. So we are building our lives on the word of God. Last time I talked about it extensively, and the time before that, because remember this series is Fear Will Not Stop Me. Why do people disobey God? Is fear. Fear of what will happen if they didn't go a particular way. They are afraid that if I don't make these provisions, my children will lack later. So we saw it. And you know, let me just go over this again. So you see, people make decisions. What they say all the time, this is just because of my children. I hear it all the time that, see, don't tell your children that. It's not nice. I hope my mother is not listening. She often listens. When I was young, anytime my mother says something like, it's because of people I'm doing it, I used to get offended. I was little. I'm talking about 12, 13. But I remember. Because I remember one day, we're talking about health matters. I don't know what brought it up. So some people, they don't eat salt at all or something. They can't eat one kind of food that, or spice that we all use. I said, I can't do it too. You know, young guy now, you just a talk. You know, small boy, not young guy, small boy. I said, no, I can't do it for anything. Yeah, what is wrong? Somebody will not eat salt at all again. Because in my mind, food will be tasteless. In reality, it will not be. All right, your mouth will adjust to it over the next few weeks. Okay, so I felt, so my mother now said, no, me, I can do it too. Mom, you can do it. It's because of you, boo, my children. And I remember that I was like, please, live your life, leave us. In my mind, I was angry. I didn't feel love. Maybe you think that, no. I felt like you're telling me I'm a burden. You are telling me I'm a problem. Yeah, that's how I felt. Some of you parents will be deceiving us with your children. Stop it. That's what I'm telling you. Why are you doing all of this? It's not this, my children. You go there, you were living in a huge duplex in Enugu here. Then you go somewhere, five of you, you, three children, wife, will crowd into a one-room apartment. And say, is the future of the children looking like that? This is my future. You can't be serious about this. You can't be serious about this. I like that future in Enugu. My room was comfortable. I mean, for goodness sake, we had a driver. When he couldn't pick us from school, somebody came to pick us. Said, this is my future. If they want to do a strong thing, when they turn 18, they buy a ticket. Where are you going? I'm going back to the duplex in Independence layout. Tired of living like this. As a woman came and was looking for me, actually. Said that his son said he wants to come back to Nigeria. He said if he comes back, there'll be trouble. What have I done? I said, please, when you are going through some of this, if you are doing it for the children, don't throw it in their face. Don't. If you are anything like me, they won't appreciate it. Let them just discover what you are doing. And you are trying your best to be. No, don't become, it's because of people I'm working two jobs, though. It's because of people I'm doing this one. After a while, the guy said, look, daddy or mommy, work one job, I will do four. And you won't hear anything about it. But what I'm trying to talk about is that people make a lot of decisions because of fear for the future of their children. We discussed it last time. God already has promises taking care of that. Remember, David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg for bread. And the word of the Lord has come to us. Let me just say it again so I can go to the next thing. Your children will never have to beg. Say amen to that.
Amen.
See, I've already explained the word is alive. The word will create food for them. He will create work for them. He will rearrange the economy for them. He will create companies for their sake. He will create anything. God is a creator. Doesn't take advantage of situations. Do you get my point? God will say, that means the house will be like the house day here. Do you get my point? He said, see, I see my children, they need house. Say, angel, now I better go find a house. Tell the landlord, I need it. No, he doesn't do that. My children need houses, yes. How many are they? There are 100 of them. 200 houses, B. Tell them to go and pick. Yeah. That's what he does. You know, sometimes, I'm teaching that on Saturday now, how to get away from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This world is so afraid. You know why Elon Musk and co are thinking of exploring Mars? They believe that one day this earth will be inhabitable. What was the correct English? Now I'm confused. Let me say the simple long way. This earth will not be habitable anymore. They've made movies about it. How it's become too hot. As for the hot thing, that thing is a very fat lie. I can tell you that this is not even scripture, it's science. Big lie. You say this earth, after a while, so maybe one day Russia will decide to bomb Ukraine and Europe will send some tactical nuclear weapons to Ukraine. Ukraine will retaliate. So by the time 2-3 bombs, cross, the other day, Pakistan and India were pretending like they wanted to fight. The boys did not want to fight. Leave that in. Oh, that's just by the way. Sorry, I went to do that. Before they begged them quickly, they stopped. Look, fight is expensive, my guy. Fight is expensive. See. When you hear say America bomb here, they bomb here. Some of those missiles, one is $1 million. Huh? Tomahawk missiles. Missile that can find its way to where it's going. Some of those things are very expensive. They say that they were bombing. Sometimes they bomb for like a week. Each day, $50 million dies. Yeah, those bombs are not cheap. It's not grenade they are throwing. No, it's not grenade they are throwing. Those bombs are expensive. And those planes, you shoot a stealth bomber down, you just shot $300 million down. Thereabout. No, they're not cheap. They're not cheap. Why do people go and buy the Super Tucano? Listen, there's a reason. Real planes are costly. That's just by the way. So the people say that one day, India will fight Pakistan, China will support. Then we'll throw so many nuclear weapons around, we'll not be able to inhabit the earth again. Where do we go? So let's go and explore Mars. Ahead. They are looking for habitable planets outside our solar system. You want to know the truth? They don't exist. Even if they existed, now they are looking for how to detect them. I saw one, they detected one last about 2 weeks ago. And I laugh. You know why I'm laughing? First, you are detecting that this planet may be habitable. Maybe. And the planet, if you travel at the speed, if you carry your spacecraft and travel, you've traveled like for maybe like 2 million years to get there. Yeah. And that's close. I'm deliberately underestimating. Yeah. No, if you use a plane, our normal plane, that was like 200 million years to get there. So I'm laughing like, okay, thank you very much. Now that you have proven to me that maybe there's bacteria on one planet that's 200 million light years away. What am I supposed to do about it? You know what they are hoping for? That one day there will be new technology that will do warping of wormholes. That you just do like, you just be there. That's what the Bible calls fear of what will come upon man. Everybody is afraid. A lot of the exploration is driven by fear. They believe that this lifestyle is a game of chance. The chance behavior that we are contributing, we are perpetrating on it, we want to make it uninhabitable. They then look for alternatives. Except there are no alternatives. Someone like me, like you too, I don't have that fear. Why? I know somebody made the earth. Planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he kept the man that he made. And he already made allowance. Let me tell you ahead of time. He made allowance that this earth can never be too small for the people he placed on it. Yeah. It's not a game of chance. When this earth will end, it is because he said it's enough. So there's no story you want to tell. I'm not giving one naira to help you look for another planet to run to. This one you are on right now, this is my own personal opinion, can take 10 times the number of people on it right now, and it's not stressed. How much of it are you occupying? Want to go and colonize Mars? Most of our deserts are not colonized. It's easier to build floating cities on the Pacific Ocean than to go to, what they call it, to go to Mars. Please don't worry myself, I have other things to do with my... What I'm trying to explain all of this, people think that it's a game of chance. And I'm saying to you, God is a creator. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. He's a creator. He's a creator of God. If you say, God, we are now 50 billion people on this earth. This earth cannot, God will just breathe on the earth, take 1 million. take 100 billion. See, to the making of books, there's no end. They'll write new books on the technology for accommodating 100 million people on this planet, a billion people on the planet. Meanwhile, we are only 10 billion, that kind of thing. God will make the earth swell. The day I found out the earth was swelling, I was surprised. The planets are growing. So the continents are growing daily. At the same rate as your nail. Yes. As the tectonic plates are shifting. So I said, why are people trying to escape? See, my God is a creator. Yeah, he's a creator. Whatever you will need in 10 years' time that has not been invented, he knows it ahead of time and he has planned when it will be released. That's what I'm trying to explain. See, what you will need. See, I don't know. If God sends you to go to the desert, nobody should tell you, come back home to come and look for wife. God said, don't worry. Adam did not go to look for Eve. He was sleeping. I woke him up. Yeah? Meet Eve. Yes. One of our brothers one day, he told me a story. He and his wife came here. How did he and his wife meet? He was going to walk in Lagos. Lagos. See, Lagos of all places. And that guy is a very funny human being. I don't know whether he's listening to this. He's a doctor, he's a missionary somewhere, one of these. Where he works, you know that this man's working for God. Salary is not good. It's not constant. Condition around there. If he was back home, he would live far more comfortably. He and his wife came to see me, was it last year or 2 years ago? He was telling me, story, like, Now, wow. People, they suffer for gospel sake. They'll put me in Enugu, I will grumble. No, such people will, look, when God will put them in front of me and be slapping me as I'm looking at them. Say, Banky, did you say your life is hard? I mean, look at this, my guy. They will slap you. Lord, why are you beating me? I just want your life to be as hard as you are saying it is. He said, He said, I was going to walk. He entered the bus. Maybe he saw her, maybe reading a book or something like that. He started talking. This book you're reading is good, though. Time to come down. He said, let me finish this talk. Inside bus in Lagos. Now, forgotten the story. But it was a very funny story. Maybe next day he came to enter the bus again. He saw her again. I said, good. Let's finish the talk of yesterday. After a while, the girl warned him not to disturb her again. And he told her that he's going to marry her. All this what she's doing is her problem. So, see, when someone says you're going to relocate so you can find husband, is a lie. So if you go here, some people have gone to church that wives are plenty there. Joseph are plenty there. Some just go to say, mercy, babes. They join the church. You are looking for a wife. My father, you will so suffer. Some people have gone to church. They go to the church, look left and right, count. For every 10 guys, there are like 50 ladies. Husband not here. They change church. That's how to marry Ahab. You hear what I said? Was he planning to change church? The way you are holding his shoulder. As if he was planning to change church. You are not planning to change church. No, listen, God will bring whatever you need. What's my emphasis? He's a creator. And the story of Derek Prince's first wife is just crazy. This young white woman left from Denmark, moved to Ramallah in what is Palestine today, West Bank, and was there. Who would have thought? Then one day God said, okay, she's getting older, and decided, no, let me give you somebody to stay with you. You know what he found for her? Very tall, handsome soldier from London. 25 years younger than her, and told him, marry that woman. It wasn't like falling in love. Look, all this falling in love, look. But you will soon get up out of here, get this nonsense. You fall in love. It's fall. You fell. You fell. You were going, somebody tripped you, and you hit the ground. And listen, when you fall, what should you do? Stand up. Stop this nonsense. Open your eyes. This woman, God told her simply, look, my daughter, I will take care of you. That's essentially what he said. He was manning house. Is this 6 or 7 girls? There were 7. They adopted the 8th one together. 7 girls, all by herself. believing God for food, managing, he was rescuing homeless children, orphans. But he was encouraged, you know, he used to teach the word. So young soldiers used to come there. Jesus was going, you can go to the house and you'll be comforted. He'll give you something to eat, drink, and teach you the scriptures, pray with you. That's how this young convert came there. So he used to help her around a lot. And the young girls in the house thought he was interested in one of the daughters. It made sense. They were their age for him. And then one day he was going, God just told him, hey, I've joined the two of you under the same yoke, under the same harness. That's it. He married a woman 25 years older than him. And was a good... See, let me explain. How you know that the marriage was real? He'll be telling these stories. He'll break into tears long after she died. Just trying to tell you something. Then his voice will break. And you start shedding tears. So, you know, he didn't joke. But God just told the woman, look, man, I'll take care of you. Leave this thing. I'll take care of you. But when he was telling the daughters she wanted to marry, that she was going to marry, after he proposed marriage to her, of course, they had to do a lot of talking. It was all talking to the daughters. One of the things he told the daughters, they were not happy. In fact, like, look, you know, all women living in the house, now they have to live with the man. Suddenly they have to change the way they dress, how they come out of their room. Like the girls, like, look, this marriage thing, mommy, are you sure it's okay? Then he told them, one day all of you will leave. That's when they piped down. And God kept her husband. She died, she was 80-something when she died. Oh, yes. And when she died, the reprint says something. That she died in the most beautiful house she had ever seen. It was a beautiful house. They were living in Florida. That time, during the war, they had left Middle East. They moved to back to his hometown. That's his home country. That's in Great Britain. Then from there, he moved around a bit. Finally, moving up and down, they went to Kenya. First Canada, Canada, US, US to Kenya, Kenya, back to... They finally settled in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And that's when where she finally passed on. She was 80-something. And the house, according to him, was beautiful. Had a swimming pool, had everything. Everything she left behind in Denmark, God gave her far better than it in the later part of her life. God doesn't just manage, he creates. That's the point I'm making. He creates. I was testifying the other day, when was I in ministry? Yeah. The way I teach, I would do one series. I've done series that have series inside them. Yes. I can do series. Learning from Moses. He had like two sub-series. There's a series inside Learning from Moses called The Survival and Death of Moses. It's supposed to be one message. But when I started preaching it, it was so long, I pulled that as a series. So I joined the whole series, the sub-series, as tape one, that is maybe tape 17. So if you hear Learning from Moses, maybe I can't remember the number of it, but let's say it's 1 to 20. It's not 20. Number 17 is 5. I can do series. I could. My wife said, you can explain. I said, when you won't say you have understood. Oh, I said, you keep explaining. I said, but tell me you have understood. My job is called positive negative feedback. I should know what they call negative feedback is, so that it's enough. Then you stop. When I'm talking, you're keeping quiet. I'll keep talking. So then I used to do tapes plenty. God's a banker. Relax, relax. Just keep preaching. To get our tape, and we used to store everything. In fact, okay, the shelf has dropped from here. We used to have shelves. I told my carpenter then he designed a shelf to hang tapes. I designed them so we could stack the tapes in rows and rows and rows. God looked first sorry for me. And he spoke. I told you the second MP3 CD I ever saw in my life was the one we produced. Never saw any other one apart from RB Time Zone. But God made me see it long before. I said, what is MP3? What is MP3? My friend, when I moved to America, I said, please help me get this thing. When I saw it, oh, this is what it is. How do they make it? I told my younger brother, he just, okay, no. Next thing, we started producing MP3, and God removed that trouble out of my life. So long the days of a whole pack of tapes, Spiritual Economics, 14 cassettes. Spiritual Economics is 1 to 13. Number 13 is 2 tapes. 14 cassettes. Who want to buy? You need traveling bag to... For God, it became ordinary CD. Then finally, it became ordinary SD card, small memory card. It wasn't like God said, oh, see memory card, though, let's use it. No. He said, do you follow my point? He said, memory card, B, solve problems for my children. Some were saying, build on the word, it's not wish. No, no, no. What are we saying? It creates. The word 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 creates. What is lacking? The word will make it. Let me just add this one to you before I read the scriptures. Technology is not a discovery by God. It's an invention of God. If you have not read my book, Mark of the Beast, please read it. People say the beast will use 5G. See, beast has come before and they were using sword, bow and arrow. That was what was available. Don't be running away from technology. Say AI is a tool of the devil. See. Nobody can make AI if God didn't say so. When I look at technology sometimes, I marvel. I say, human beings can't think of this. If you listen to scientists, at least you know about Kekule. Is it Robert Kekule? What's his name? Can't remember his first name. Those of you who do chemistry, any chemistry person here, or those who dodge chemistry class, I'm looking at them now. Cyclical hydrocarbons. Now, English, they speak, so I wasn't talking to you. All of you, you are doing like you don't know now. And you did jambo. No wonder jump server is having problems. People like you go and write jump. But the point I'm making is that Kekule thought and thought. They did not understand how the structure of benzene was stable. How could he come up with such, is this just six hydrogen carbons, six, you know, carbon, hydrogen atoms, six carbon atoms, how will it balance? It didn't make any sense. All those bonds would be too unstable. And Kekule was thinking. And then one day he fell asleep. And he saw a snake moving around in circles with his tail in his mouth. He woke up, he realized, oh, cyclical hydrocarbons. Never knew about them until he had the dream. It was God that revealed it. I read the testimony himself of Thomas of Charles Towns. He said, a prophet said they heard from heaven. He said that was the closest he got to it. He said it was an epiphany. He sat in a park and he thought something, you know, it, like a picture just dropped in his head. He said, yes, we can amplify microwaves. After that, he amplified light. And that was how you started having laser. Because one man had a thought, according to him, he dropped in his head in a park. He dropped in his head. It took him 2 years to bring it to reality, but he dropped in an instant. He was sitting on a park. And when the thing just hit him, bam! Come on, we can do this. In fact, he said that time, it was difficult for him because everybody thought he was crazy. He said because by that time, he was already a term professor. So he knew they couldn't sack him. That's why he went for it. And he got a Nobel Prize for it later. And that thing has revolutionized the technology world. From it came the Mesa. And he did the Mesa. Then from it came the laser. Now, see if I explained how to stimulate this and all that. But the man got the idea. Sitting down. God doesn't make discoveries. He invents. He creates. When he has created, he will not blow it into somebody. If you hear of Albert Einstein's thought experiments, you know this is a non-human. How can such a young man bring four record, that's science-changing, record-breaking theories out in 1 year? In fact, they had to call it the year of the miracles, Annus Mirabilis. Young man, young scientist. Why? Because he just read the mind of God. God will just open it for him to see. Our God creates. What did I say? He creates. So his word is the way by which he does it. He creates long life for people. He does. Hezekiah was sick unto death. From the hand of the Lord, by the way. Let's not get into that. And God said to him, you will get 15 more years. If his guy like let him jump from height, he's not going to die. Did you hear what I said? When God said, I'm giving you 15 more years, 15 more years you will have. You follow my point? God looked at Caleb. Say, you, we enter the promised land. Joshua, we enter the promised land. Only the two of you that are above the age of 20, nobody else. So you know what happened to Caleb? God put his strength in suspended animation. That guy could not age for 45 years. And you think it was only him? Trust me, Joshua too. See, the Bible didn't talk much about Joshua because it was talking about Caleb, because he had other jobs for Joshua to do. So in that area, they talked about Caleb. Caleb could not age. Why? Because God said, you will enter the promised land. God said to him, you will enter the promised land. See, 5,000 Philistines pouncing on top of Caleb couldn't kill him. How would they manage? At the age of 85, he now came to Joshua. Bro, how far? Man, things are rough for these young people. All right, we have an outstanding business. What's the outstanding business? Moses, the servant of God, made me a promise. He said, this mountain is mine. Approved. Joshua said, are you sure? He said, I'm 85 today. He said, look, when I go jogging, I feel exactly how I felt 45 years ago. He said, for going out and for war. God created strength for Caleb. He created strength for Caleb. The world is telling us every day, we are growing old. You see, chance is not keeping you alive. What keeps you alive is the word of God. What did I say? It's the word of God. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That word is still becoming flesh again today. God is looking for who we believe it. Please stop meditating on, you know, I keep saying it. Stop meditating on nonsense. This children, don't enjoy me. You know I'm not young again. Stop saying it. The more you say it, the more it becomes flesh. You know, your father's 70th birthday. I love that his dance. I've not forgotten it. I'm going to learn that dance just because of him. Because I'm 70, I have to dance like that. When this man was dancing, I said, 70. At that time, how old was I? Maybe 50. How many years ago was that? 2 years ago, I was 52. I mean, I just, I can't dance. I must dance. Oh. I must dance. I must dance. That was the dance he was dancing that day. I must dance. I've seen 90-year-olds jogging. And I don't mean not just jogging. I mean, they are giving good strides. Yes. They are giving good strides. They are moving. What are you talking about? The Bible tells you these things are recorded for our learning. In the same manner, these experiences are there for us to learn from. Don't be using a 60-year-old to describe the matter of age. I keep on saying, you've heard me say it again and again. I say, old age is not a disease. Old age is not a disease. Don't bring scientific publications for me. I have them more than you have. I know how to read them. You don't even know how to interpret them. I write. At least I used to. Yes. So don't bring me science. I'm saying the word of God creates. Why I'm talking the way I'm talking is because I want it to be a reality in your life and mine. I'm not saying it's natural. I'm saying the word creates. The word does what? It creates. Listen, let me start by prophesying. There's nobody listening to me right now that will ever have dementia.
Amen.
It's a prophetic word. It's not prediction. It's not prediction. I've spoken something that God said. It's in scriptures. Open your Bible. Let's read it. It's in the Bible. Psalm 92. The word creates. It heals the sick. Amen?
Amen.
It does. Psalm 92. Quickly. What I'm saying is these things we are not saying they are natural. It said in verse 12, the righteous man. Now, you know what the righteous means now? It doesn't mean the good man. Does that mean the good man? It means the fellow that builds his life on the word of God. What did he say? The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Sometimes the people think that the Bible runs commentary. It doesn't run commentary. It's prophetic. Let me tell you the meaning of the word prophetic. Prophetic is not a prediction. It's not a commentary. It's not that, okay, you know, we saw righteous people, you know, they are okay when they are old. No. God speaks. When he speaks, he said, this is what I want to do in your life. That's the meaning of the word prophetic. Are you getting my point? That it is not predictive. That is, it's not like, okay, every time you see old people, that's what will happen. No, God says, this is my plan. Remember Caleb? The reason why Caleb decided to quarrel with those other men was because I said so. He and his brother, Joshua, they partnered to speak according to what I said. Why the other people conspired against me? So I called him what? Righteous. Do you get my point? Now, because of that, what will happen to him? God was saying, he will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, he will flourish in the courts of his God. He will still yield fruit of battle in old age, and it will be full of sap and very green. It's a prophetic word. Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
What do you do with prophecies? You activate them. You say amen to them. You receive them. Then the word becomes flesh in your life. I hope you can understand. Everybody say after me, old age is not a disease.
Old age is not a disease.
Say, in my life,
age is not a disease.
Say it again. Say one more time.
In my life,
age is not a disease. Now, what you are going to say again, that is the next line. Say, I will flourish like the palm tree.
I will flourish like the palm tree.
I will grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
I will grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
I will be planted in the house of the Lord.
I will flourish in the
course
of my God.
I will still bear fruit in old age.
I will be full of sap.
I'm very green. Say it again. Let me teach you some science, bad science. All right? The current science, but it's kind of bad. All right? As you grow older, naturally speaking, your blood vessels get stiffer. Do you understand? Let's take the brain. Inside the brain, the blood vessels start getting, the brain shrinks slightly. I want to teach you small science. Then they start bridging. No, not they start bridging. There's connection between your skull and the brain, the small vessels. So when the brain shrinks, the vessels now become a bit longer. So small children will run and bang their head against the wall. Boop! They rub it and continue running. But old people will run, bang their head against the wall and end up in Memphis. Do you get what that is? They no longer have sap. They are no longer green. That's what I'm explaining. Children can fall. You've seen them fall. Some children, when their father is not looking, their mother is not looking, they have reached the top of the window in the house. You look like, I thought Batman was only inside the movies. There's one Batman in your house. I thought Spider-Man is just fiction. Your son is now Spider-Man. And he actually saw the other Spider-Man. And he's copying. Except that it is real in his life. Sometimes what you hear is, bagam! When he falls, you come, you know, you're looking like, where did he fall from? And he's looking at you. They now go and beat the wall. They never break their bones. Those bones can't break. They are unbreakable. Even if you bend it, one side will crack, the rest will bend. We'll now call it green stick fracture. And you know what they call green stick? Go and get the green stick. It doesn't snap like that. When you stretch it, one side will crack, then it now split. That's why doctors call it green stick fracture. So the older people get, the stiffer they become. The back gets stiff. When they tell old people to do my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes, my head, my shoulder, my knees, my toes. They be pointing my head, my shoulder. He says you touch it. Somebody say, not the will of God. Say, it is not the will of God. Say it again.
It is not the will of God.
Now, the Bible knows what it's saying when it said they will be full of sap and very green. That's what he's saying. That the bones will not become brittle. They will also fall, they won't break that bone. And God likes bone. Have you noticed? He likes bone. Not one of his bones will be broken. Receive strength for those bones in the name of Jesus. God loves bones. This is the word of the Lord. Your bones will not become brittle. That's God's plan. You know what God says? See, you won't live on this earth forever. But while you are here, live well. You will be all right. I've made provisions for you to be all right. Until Jesus comes, you will be all right. No matter how old you are, you will be straight. Amen. You won't bend over. Amen. Your bones will not be brittle. Amen. Your back will not give you problems. Amen. Your discs will not slip. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the plan of God. He chose the words. He said they will be full of sap and what? Very green. That's why I told that story. For you to know the opposite. Please, you know what I found out? Little experience. I mean, I've been growing over the last many years. Are you getting my point? God has helped me with something. I reject anything. Say it's age. I say no. I reject it. Look, this world is fight. It's fight. We are fighting. We're fighting. A battle. There was a time my this was years ago, quite some time ago. My right knee was aching. I say say you start aching, you will stop aching. Yeah. No. It was look. Okay, let me say so you can copy me. They used to laugh at me. A doctor that does not like medicine. I don't forbid. But it's not my first port of call. That knee, ache. That's his problem. You go. You will stop. You will stop. Hey, you will stop. Oh. In Jesus' name, you must stop. I can't remember. What was I that time? What narrow rubbish is this one? Hey, you will stop. Oh. You will stop. I don't know how long it took. Oh. It's not 2 days. Oh. We must have been on that battle for months. Then one day I forgot. Along the line, I said, oh, is the way I drive? But to say that it's age, I reject. See, I'm not saying it's not natural. I'm saying we reject. Amen. That's what we are saying. As a prophecy, it tells you what God plans. I say, you start working with him till it's real in your life. That's it. That's what it means. Some people take prophecy to be, they'll be coming here. You said this, but this one happened. I say, you don't know what you're saying. God said, I'm taking them to the promised land. They did not die in the wilderness. But like we say, he get why. He planned to take them to the promised land, but they died in the wilderness. But there was a reason. It's not because he couldn't take them in. It's because they refused to enter. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what prophecy is. Prophecy tells you the plan of God that you need to cooperate with, accept, so it can come to pass in your life. See, small children, they get back pain too. In fact, do you know, the worst back pain I've had in my life, do you know when it was? It's around the time when I was in my fourth year in university. The back pain was killing. Man, it will ache me badly. You know how it ended? One day, I still remember the name of the consultant. We're doing our specialty postings. I went to orthopedic clinic. And a patient came with back problems. And the man turned, you know, the way the doctor, the big men would do, they just turn to where we are. That is a teaching clinic. Okay, now, this is how you do. He explained. This, the curvature of the back is like this. I looked at it all my life. I've been doing the opposite to a healthy back. When my back will ache, I'll put a pillow under it and lie down. That's how to kill the back. After that clinic, I say, I have been the cause of my own back problems. I changed the way I slept. I changed my posture, rearranged my mattress and stuff like that, and it disappeared. But because I was a young boy, I did not think it was old age. Do you get where I'm going? If that time, if I was 60, I would have gone to say, I have, age. Meanwhile, there was no problem with the back. There was a problem with the bed. The bed was sick. The bed was the one committing sin. It wasn't me. But because I wasn't old, I could not use that age as an excuse. I just endured my back pain. And until one day, I still remember, I can give the name of the man who was teaching that day. And he was talking about another patient, about the patient. I was a student. And he explained, why you do it like this? So you have to keep the back this way, you stretch it this way. So when you're on it, he was teaching us and helping the patient, and I was getting cured. That was when he disappeared. Till now, sometimes my wife will be on the bed reading. I said, sweetheart, don't do that. That causes back pain. People don't know that. You know, you lie down, you now push yourself up on a pillow, and you are face down, you are reading. That's how to get back pain. He said, this fellow said, that's all they have all been doing. And they've been blaming the witches in the neighborhood. They didn't know. That is the wrong way. You arc your back that way. No, it's terrible. It's terrible for the back. The back doesn't like it. You have to curve it the other direction slightly. Keeps the bones there, you see? And you are not old. And you're having back pain for reading too much. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. See, let's stop giving old age as an excuse. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. I refuse. Now, some people, like, this one thing I want to discourage people of. Stop chuck. Every little thing, chuck. Meds is what I'm calling chuck. You know what I'm saying? Every little thing is eye-taking. Everything is eye-taking. It's eye-taking. Then, you don't even know which one is caused by the medicine. The one that's caused by the fact that you did not take. The one that is caused by the one that you took. Many times this is from my experience. Many times in this life, the other day, my right toe was aching. Why? That's the little toe. And the one beside it. I pulled it small, left it. Then when they looked, the left one was also doing the same thing. I said, two of you smoke something. I was wondering, what is going on? Oh, I now remember what happened. For a few days, I went for very long walks. Apparently with bad shoes. I know Abi Ajebota, I'm not used to this trekking around the Enugu. Do you get my point? So now my toes, they look like, okay, where would they go? I didn't tell them anything. I kept on walking. They didn't say anything. All right? I did it again. I thought I did it a few times. Now the boys looked like, this man is injuring also. Do you know where I'm going? I didn't cross my mind that, age, what? It was because a lot of times I've seen people with they have injuries. They say, what is good? They don't know they are injuring themselves by something they are doing daily. But they quickly say, I'm getting old now. Because I'm getting old, they're not going to buy chalk. And beware of those who quickly prescribe chalk for you. I said what I said. You know, some doctors won't like it, but it's the truth. If you say doctors are quickly write the prescription, it's a bad one. I ain't going to die tomorrow. Actually, you should talk to you a bit. Investigate your life. Some just after 5 minutes, especially UK doctors, because they give them only 15 minutes. It's called NHS. People tell you that if you go to UK, everything is free. The doctor has only 15 minutes to make up his mind whether you are going to live or die. 15 minutes. In Nigeria, 15 minutes, you are still greeting. How's the family? I saw your wife the other day. You are still greeting. Doc, how are you doing? I saw your son the other day. He's a big boy now. He's not driving. Oh, my God, Doc. And I thank God you guys have built under extension. And doctor, he can't talk. You are paying. I mean, what is it? 15 minutes, you are still greeting him. And I said, what is the real problem? You now start telling him, you know, my shoulder. By the time you come out of the clinic, it's your money. 1 hour is gone. But when it is free, the one that they do in UK, guys, please don't be angry. I'm not yapping you. I mean, all of us have problems. This is your own problem. It's not our problem here. The one they do that, they make me laugh. Is that if you get there and you told them you wanted to complain about the shoulder pain, the half would not say, doctor, please, my knee. He said, no. Go and join the queue for the knee. No, that's not a joke. That's not a joke. It's not a joke. You will now book up. If you want to see doctor quickly, just go and faint, die halfway. They will not carry you to emergency. Yes. So that's why some of those doctors, they are quick to clearly write something for you. In fact, there was a crisis in Nigeria but two cases made big news. Two young girls that died. They were going to school in UK. No, the one died. The other one was rescued in Lagos. They're going to school. They went to the doctor said, okay. This stomach that's paining you. Take paracetamol. Go house. Now they get calling Papa. This doctor is not doing anything for me. The father quickly came, bundled down to a plane, carried her to Lagos to find that her appendix was about to perforate. The other one, she actually died. By the time she finally collapsed and they took her to emergency, she actually died. Two of the Nigerian students. I told you, pray. You must pray. So there's no hurry that somebody could give you a prescription. Let him talk to you first. Let him check have you changed your life in the last few days. Let him reason. And you yourself, you too, they panic. Let me tell you ahead of time, you will not die. Your death is not going to be by me. It's not a mistake. It's an appointment. What did I say? Yeah, it's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. And that day, one of our sisters said her blood pressure was up. I told the husband, I said, please tell her to calm down first. But she started to panic. When I saw the prescription this wicked guy gave to her, the husband finally dragged her to come and see me. By that time, half of her face was hardly working. Her BP had dropped so low, she was having cerebral anoxia. I'm not kidding. I said, but I told you, he said, I told her too. But he was so upset. But I told you, pastor said, calm down. ZBP is like, my church, pack everything. The thing went down, boom. I called one of my friends, because that's what I do. I don't dabble into everything. What's the issue? I called my colleague, my friends who are specialists in that area. Yeah, he was just angry. He said, this is what's wrong with these young people. She is a young woman, for goodness sake. Nothing will happen to her over the next few weeks. Take time out to evaluate. It's you I'm talking about, not the doctor. In a hurry to swallow, chop. Some of them become hooked on them the rest of your life. You won't let God, you won't do small thing for you. Just small thing. Hurry. Let me give you the word of God again. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
Remember, it's a prophetic word. You're activating it. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No matter how old you become, you will not become dry.
Amen.
You will not become a dry stick.
Amen.
You will continue to be full of sap and very green.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. You'll be full of sap and what? Very green. At 90, see the way children's father danced, you will dance like that. You will dance like that. Retirement is not the will of God. Any one of you planning for retirement, banish that idea now. I've prayed to the Lord. See, there's not. If Jesus doesn't come back when I have to leave this earth, there must be meetings booked for the following week. That's a prayer I pray to God. Somebody should come and apologize. Maybe Akindu will go there. I'm sorry, Daddy will not be able to come. Where is he? Did he go somewhere else? Yes, he went somewhere else. He had to go and see the Lord. So he won't be coming for the meeting. Yes, not as if we're not sure. He's not feeling well. I'm feeling well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I will be feeling well. I will feel well till I'm... See, that man I was talking about, Charles Towns, I loved his story. I was following him. You know, I used to read his story. He used to give lectures. I was waiting for when he would turn to be 100. At 99, he was still teaching the university. Yes. Yes, he was still giving lectures. They kept his office. He would come once in a while, sit down with PhD students, postdoc students. I was following him. I was waiting. I had marked when he would turn 100. Then finally at 99, he died. But what I love about him is that he taught till he was 99. He taught. He was teaching till he was 99. Somebody listening to me, that will be your testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Those of you like jogging, you will jog till you are 99.
Amen.
You like going on long walks, you will walk till you are 99.
Amen.
You know Prince Philip's, that's Queen Elizabeth's husband. He was driving till he was 90-something. So one day, now ran into somebody with a bicycle. And they now took his car from him. They begged him. The man can't quickly die the following year or so. Yeah, he was 90-something when he died. He was still driving himself. The year before that. So we're not saying things that are strange that people have not seen before. No. We're not saying things that are strange that people have not seen before. We're saying God will do it in your life.
Amen.
See, or just say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, it's the word of the Lord.
It's the word of the
is the blessing of my Father. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it. The blessing of God. See, this body God gave us has use. And God that gave it, He's maintaining it. He just saying to you and I, cooperate with me. Please, let me just say this again. Let's not use the way of the world. See, I have seen all kinds of methods that the world has tried to teach us to keep our tubes free. That is like blood vessels and all of that. Some of them, confusion. Yeah. When I saw an old cardiologist, we had a discussion about daily aspirin. You know, low dose aspirin. Now, okay, I won't tell you which what is good or bad. The man was angry that they are prescribing it. Yes, you see advert, daily aspirin, 75 milligrams. This one, to keep all the clots away. And this man, an old cardiologist, and it is getting him angry. That they are going to bleed and they will die. Yeah. Because they will do studies that show that those who take it, when they do have a stroke, the stroke is really severe. Or they say, oh, the chance of having stroke is lower. So we now don't know which side. So some now say, okay, this is what you will do. If you have these risks, take it. But age alone is not enough a risk. I've not told you anything now. Don't believe anything. Like, don't run with anything. What I've just tried to explain to you is that there's confusion. The one that makes me laugh all the time, that one I can say it boldly. On my authority, not just as a preacher, but as a medically trained person. They will come to you and say, come and take drug for cholesterol. Tell them thunder, fire, cholesterol. That's the answer I should give them. Say, God punish cholesterol. That I'm an African. Don't give me white man's problem. Diseases, drugs that have side effects. I've seen a lot of people when they are sick. Ask my wife, I think I said, are you sure this person's sickness? Or is it drug that is sick? Do you get my point? You're well, nothing wrong with you. That one man, that's how he went online to go. Sorry, let me just go there small. I have warned you, stop taking herbs and supplements. What did I say?
Stop taking herbs and supplements.
I'm giving you brotherly advice, fatherly advice, doctorly advice, preacherly advice, godly advice. Some of those are nothing but idolatry. The odder the color, the more you pay. Some of them, when you bring it, it's green here, yellow here, purple. Just mix it. Nata is from China. The farther away, the more exotic. Let me just beg you, don't take supplements. Don't take herbs. You are not sick. That's how one man went and bought. He said it was healthy. He bought online. An American. I said American or European. You know what happened? His liver died. His kidney died. And he was not sick before. He said, see me, see problem. I was well. I said, let me get better. What is better than well? I'm not kidding. As at that time, he had had a liver transplant and was in queue for for kidney transplant. He took Chinese herbs. See, in the bush, there are dangerous mushrooms. There are dangerous roots. Some of those things, one branch can kill. That is, when they blend into something, you drink it. Look, there are some chemicals in this life, they kill. And God has kept inside the bush. Thick bush. There's somebody now going to hike for 2 days, harvest them, and tell you it's the elixir for long life. That people on those mountains used to live to be 120 years is a lie. They only looked 120. Those guys were dying at 45, got snake to bite them or kill them, scorpion, all kind of thing. Fall from height, break bones, die for nothing. But when you see somebody there that's 62, he looks 92. Say, what is their key to long life? They want to remote Japanese village. It's not true. One of the reasons Japanese will live long is because they respect elders. Honor your father and your mother. They may be well with you. They may live long in that land with the Lord that God has given you. Respect for your parents gives you long life. It's not everything that is herbs. Look into people's culture, their habits. It's all going around. I've warned you about those who sell it. If you buy anything sold to you on the road, if you buy, Heavenly Father, give the person indigestion. No sense. I've been warning you. And I've been warning you, nobody who's not trained, who's not qualified, should ever give you anything and you swallow it. Even if it's your grandmother. Don't. Just say, Mama, thank you. Collect it. Roll it. Keep it there. Don't swallow it. Especially when you are pregnant. That is the... Thank you. Look, it's the wrong time to swallow all kinds of nonsense people are giving you. Eat your food with thanksgiving. There's blessing in giving thanks. You hear what I said? I said what? Eat your food with thanksgiving. There's blessing in giving thanks. We're taking all kinds of things. Where I'm going with all of this? The world has the way of cleaning your vessels. They have all their ways of this. Small. I have to go there again. Any fad diet or supplement that anybody taking, run away. There was a time they were doing Kagasok tea. How are old enough? Most of them don't know. Kagasok tea. Apostle, you drink them? Yeah, I'm looking at your face. Then there was a time they came with noni juice. Yes. Good. By the way, rich people don't want to die. There was a time people were buying one pot. In today's naira, one pot, 2 million naira. To cook. They say it's made of titanium. I've told you, go and buy clay pot. You will live long. I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. These worldly things will not preserve you. That's what I'm saying. Wake up in the morning and eat. What did I say? And eat what? The word of God. The food of angels. That's what I'm talking about. Wake up in the morning and say to your soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What did he say? Who forgives your iniquities and then heals your diseases? That's where I was going.
All.
Wake up in the morning and say, he heals all my diseases. Take a moment. Oh, yeah, say it. Take a moment. Say, he heals all my diseases. 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 Very important, say it. He heals all my diseases. He heals all. He said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. You should say that. My youth is renewed like that of an eagle. Declare it. My youth is renewed like that of an eagle. My youth is renewed like an eagle. My youth is renewed like an eagle. My youth is renewed like an eagle. He satisfies my mouth with good things. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle. He satisfies my mouth with good things. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget any of his benefits. He satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. He satisfies your mouth with good things. We are cleaning every vessel in our body. Say, my youth is renewed. My body, my eyes, my bones, my intestines, my blood vessels, they are full of sap in the name of Jesus. I claim the blessing of God upon them. I claim the blessing of God. I claim the blessing of God on my bones and every part of my body. I claim the blessing of God. What did Paul say? He said, if Christ is in you, declare that Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ, he said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, the body may be subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. He said, if the spirit of him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. He knows the body is mortal, so he knows that body is mortal. He said, but he will give life to it. He will give life to it. The body will serve you well. That body will serve you well. It will serve you well. All your diseases are healed in the name of Jesus. All your diseases are healed in the name of Jesus. All your diseases are healed in the name of Jesus.
All your diseases are healed. You need to claim. Claim in the name of Jesus. He heals all my diseases. 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 From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Say it, I will not die, but I will live. I will fulfill the purpose of God for my life. I will tell of the goodness of the Lord. I speak healing to every part of me. It is the promise of the Father. It is the children's bread. Say, I speak healing to every part of my body. It is the promise of the Father. It is the bread of the children. It is the children's bread. Healing is my bread. Say, God is a creator God. You know, I said faith is about recognition. And what I'm doing this evening is letting you see again, letting us see that God has control of your life. He has a power over your body. He creates. He rejuvenates. He makes you young again. He creates. He rejuvenates. He makes you young again. Declare it is well with me. It's well with this body that God gave me to serve him. Say, I put this body on his altar. It is for his own use. And this instrument of God, in the name of Jesus, will be holy. The blessing of God is dedicated to the service of God. The blessing of God dwells therein. In holiness, every disease is driven away. It's important. I don't have time to explain that. But in holiness, every disease is driven away. Because God did not use to accept impure sacrifices, offerings. Therefore, the body you lay on his altar, he will cleanse it in the name of Jesus. Jesus said it, the altar sanctifies whatever is placed upon it. The altar sanctifies whatever is placed upon it. Your body is on the altar of the Lord. It is sanctified in the name of Jesus. Your body is on the altar of the Lord. Everybody say after me, say, Christ is in me. Say, the body may be subject to death because of sin. But the Spirit is giving it life because of righteousness. Say, the Holy Spirit is in me. The Spirit of Christ is in me. It's giving life to my body. You know what he said? That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. Say, in the name of Jesus. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. Say, in me, life is walking. In me, life is walking. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet, life is walking. The life of God is walking. Say, the sap of God is flowing. Say it again, the sap of God is flowing. It's bringing usefulness to my bones. It's bringing youthfulness to my bones. Say, for me, age is not a disease. It's only permitted to make me wise. It will not make me weak. It will not make me susceptible to diseases. Hold the only part of your body, like your hand, your shoulder, anywhere. Say, bone. Hear the word of the Lord. You will never become brittle. Say, in the name of Jesus, my eyes, hear the word of the Lord. You will never grow dim. Say, glaucoma is not your portion. You will never become blind. In the name of Jesus. I speak clarity to my eyes. From the front to the back, become clear. In the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is giving life to my mortal body. Please put your hand on your head. Say, this brain, you will never have dementia. Say it again. This brain, you will never have dementia. Say, at the age of 90, I'll remember the stories of when I was 9. Say, in the name of Jesus, it will never be said concerning me that he forgets because the brain is weak. See, we're not saying what is natural. We're saying what God will do for us. He's a creator God. He's a creator God. He's a creator God. bless your teeth. Say in the name of Jesus, I will not lose my teeth. Yes. Because age is not a disease. It's only permitted to make you wise. As long as God gives you work to do on this earth, you will have strength to do it.
Amen.
Let me say it again. As long as, you know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What does that mean? It's service, it's work, it's promoting the agenda of God on the earth. He said, for me to live is Christ. That is, when you are alive, it's Christ you are serving. It's Christ you are living for. You're not living for yourself, you are living for Christ. Therefore, that same spirit that raised him from the dead will give life to that mortal body.
Amen.
That body is on the altar.
Amen.
It's sanctified.
Amen.
It is sanctified.
Amen.
It is sanctified.
Amen.
It is healed.
Amen.
You know, we need to debunk this thing. That, you know, they've told us all kinds. No, listen, I studied it. I know. What I want to understand that this life, God used to come, I am God and there is none else. There's a reason. Because every day, other people are competing to be God. Yes, they are. They tell you life expectancy in the United Kingdom is 78 years. Why? Because of this, because of that. They'll be giving excuses. As if the medical thing is so good, they keep people alive. I don't have time to talk about the problems there also, but there are problems everywhere. But what is happening that by hearing that, you keep on hearing that medical infrastructure and medical service in a country is God. See, you are Homo sapiens Christus. What will happen to your life, in your life, is not that which is average. It's not that which is common. What is going to happen to you is that which God is creating. I hope you're getting my point. No matter the life expectancy, if earthquake happens and building collapses, you know those with high life expectancy will die inside there. Do you get my point? No matter the life expectancy, if you cross the road without looking and then go to the truck is passing, that will become life not expecting. Do you follow my point? But if God is keeping you alive, no truck can kill you. And it's that preserving power of God that we are claiming. That's what we are claiming. That's what we are claiming. Give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because you are the one keeping me. Say, Lord, I want to thank you because you are the one keeping me. Say, Lord, you are the one keeping me. You are the one. It's not my genes keeping me. It's not my medicine that's keeping me. Lord, I give you my life. I say, Lord, keep me. You, keep me. Only you. Only you and no one else. Only you and no one else.